Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Land, this is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and all that other good stuff to my listeners, to my listening audience out there. Glad to be back. See you on the other side. Welcome to 2022. Excuse me. Trying to get that burp out. But anyway, if you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, the call-in number, 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. You can call in, talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. As always, be aware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come in here with character assassinations, trolling, ad hominem attacks, random insults, excessive profanity, things of that sort, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be agreeable in your interactions on this program, and we should have a good show. But anyway, how are you guys doing out there? I hope everybody's had a good holiday season. Time to get right back on it. Time to get back to the old grind, as they say sometimes. Had a rough week at work this week, but you know what? The days are over, and I'm back with you good people again. Hopefully, you all enjoyed yourselves. We had several tragedies over the past couple of weeks, you know, as far as in the entertainment world. I just learned yesterday that Sidney Poitier had died just the day before. Of course, Betty White has passed away. We had John Madden pass away. You know, these are people I grew up with in my childhood, you know. And like I've told people before, it when you get older, you know, you start noticing one of the things I don't like about getting older is people that you've known for a long time, they start going off the scene, you know. But that is the nature of the beast. That's life for you. You know, you live, you die. You know, you get to a certain age, you're going to die. That's just something we cannot escape. Two things we can't escape, death and taxes. But there's something we can do with one of those, and I'm not talking about death either. You know, but anyway, once again, like I said, it gets easier to do, you know, something about current events and whatever, and because of the political minefield we're living in this day and age. And I wanted to bring up something to you all to just put into perspective, our crime stats in this country. And a lot of times when you hear about crime stats, one city you're going to hear about more than anything is Chicago. Now, I don't know why people just focus on Chicago, because Chicago's not the only city with a high crime rate. You got Los Angeles, you got Washington, D.C., you got Philadelphia, you got New Orleans, you know, you got all these cities. And Chicago serves as kind of an example of what goes on. But once again, I don't understand why they just focus on Chicago. Now, on this program, I get a couple of guys on here. One of them is named Pianchi, and he gives me the stats. He gives me the stats for the crime in Chicago, and it's pretty sobering when you look at these numbers. And what is even more sobering, to the point of being angering, is how nonchalant people take these crime stats. You know, everyone wants to focus on what's politically correct today, you know, like white officers attacking black people, stuff like that, and the LGBTQ community and things of that sort. But they don't want to focus on the bigger problems. Like I said, this is one of the main reasons why I do this program, to point these things out. And a lot of people, they seem to have their proverbial heads in the sand, ignoring the bigger problems, and wanting to point out the little pettier aspects of what's going on. Now, I'm not saying that pointing out a white cop killing a black person is a petty aspect, but it pales to comparison. It pales in comparison to how many black people get killed by other black people. But we see white cops killing black people as the bigger problem. When more cops last year, I forget what the number is, I don't have the stat, but more cops last year died at the hands of black thugs than there were black people that died at the hands of white cops. And I put up a new article at my site, Black by Color Only, and I'm going to take a trip there right now. And I have a part that talks about, I have a section there at my blog called Their Names. And these are the names of the people that we tend to forget, who diegetically, and we tend to forget them because these names get lost in the politically correct shuffle. And I put two names on here, and these are female officers. Don't know why my computer's taking so long. These are the names of female officers. One officer I want to start with is named Keona. Kiana, okay. I forget how age. I think she was 39. And this was an officer in Baltimore. A Baltimore police officer who was shot while sitting in her patrol car earlier this month has died. This she was shot, I think, on December the 18th. And she died, I think, on Christmas Eve. Mother of four. A police officer who was shot while sitting in her patrol car earlier this month has died, according to the Baltimore Police Department. Officer Kiana Holly was removed from life support, Baltimore Police Commissioner Michael Harrison said Thursday in a statement posted Facebook. Her health has been deteriorating over the last couple of days, and her family, in consultation with her doctors, has had to make the most difficult decision, Harrison said in the statement, adding that Holly's strength, courage, and resilience are an inspiration to us all. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott praised Holly as a devoted public servant who worked to protect her community. Baltimore will never forget Officer Holly's sacrifice and commitment to making a difference in her beloved city. I ask that everyone please keep Officer Holly's family in your prayers as they endure the holiday season without their mother, daughter, sister, and loyal friend, he said in the Baltimore Police Facebook statement. The fatal shooting occurred at 1:30 a.m. on December 16th when an assailant apparently walked up somewhere from the rear of the police vehicle or alongside the vehicle and began firing into the vehicle, striking our officer, Harrison said last week. Holly then accelerated the patrol vehicle and crashed, officials said. Okay, now, how many of you all heard of this story of Kiana Holly? I bet none of you all have heard of this story. Because the first thing we think of when we think of Baltimore, we think of Freddie Gray. You know, he died in police custody some years ago. And people had to get out because, you know, old Black Lives Matter and all this. And turns out officers involved with Freddie Gray, they were black themselves. They caught the perpetrator, and it was more than one perpetrator. Let me give you two career thugs named Elliot Knox and Trevon Shaw. Both in their 30s, Elliot Knox was 31, Trevon Shaw was 32. These are black dudes that sneaked up on a black female police officer and shot her dead. Now, with the exception of a small candlelight vigil, there were no marches for Miss Holly. No protest for Miss Holly. Who was a black woman, a mother. And, you know, some of these black groups, they come out here and they talk about we need to protect our black queens. We need to protect our black queens. Well, where was the protection for this black queen? Nobody's singing about her tragedy. Nobody has her name in their lips. You know, a lot of times they come out and talk about, say her name. You know, Breonna Taylor or someone like that. But why aren't you all saying the name of Kiana Holly? Yeah, she was a police officer. But she was a black queen, too. She was a black woman. But no one has her name on their lips right now. We're still talking about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and all those others. We still sing the verses of these other people, but we don't say anything about Kiana Holly. And not only that, the two people that killed her, they are career thugs. Probably shouldn't have been out on the street. But where's the mention of her name? I mean, where is it? Where's the mention of her name? Someone, please tell me. Enlighten me. But she was a police officer, too. Black woman. People snuck. Two thugs sneaked up on her and fired into her car. She immediately gunned her car to get away and crashed. And died about a week later. Am I still breaking up, Yahweh? Just let me know. If I'm breaking up, just let me know. But anyway, I need to get back on. I'm in and out. Ooh, that doesn't sound good. I need to position my microphone. Let's see here. Da-da. Testing 1, 2. I can't hear the deviation of sound on my headphones, but we'll just continue on. But we tend to ignore black on black crime. We tend to ignore it. It's not as important to us, even though these people are human beings. But we tend to ignore it. The only time we get our panties in a bind is when a black person meets an unfortunate end at the hands of a white person. That's the only time when black lives matter. But let me pull up another story too, about another police officer. And like I said, you can find these at on a section in at my site of blackbycoloronly.com called Their Names. And let me pull up the name of another police officer. Named Marlene Ritmanic. Once again, waiting for my, there we go. Funeral arrangements for sergeant killed in Bradley police shooting announced. Anthony Turner funeral home in Bourbon High with her service. For slain Bradley Police Sergeant Marlene Ritmanic have been announced. Ritmanic and her partner respond to parking in an unattended car in the parking lot at the Comfort Inn off Route 50, the Kankakee County Sheriff's officer has said. They went to the hotel room where the car's owner was staying when people say the people inside the room began attacking the officer, shooting them. Ritmanic, 49, was killed, and her partner, Officer Tyler Bailey, 27, was critically wounded in a motel shooting last week. Two suspects were eventually taken into custody after going on the run. Darius D. Sullivan was arrested in North Manchester, Indiana, Friday morning, authorities said. Later that day, Zandria Harris turn herself in to Bradley Police. Visitation for Ritmanic will be from 2 to 7 p.m. Thursday at Olivet Nazarene University in the Hawkins Centennial Chapel, according to her obituary. Okay, now, this is what happened in this case. There's a complaint about some dogs in a car just barking and everything, which is against the noise ordinance. Some people call the police. The police come to the hotel room. And these two model citizens start shooting at them. They shot the male police officer in the head. He's in critical condition. And they went after the female police officer. And I think their gun had jammed or whatever. And they went after the female police officer, Ritmanic. had her on the ground, and Redmanic, excuse me, was trying to get her gun out. And the girlfriend of the thug armed Redmanic, took the gun, gave it to her boyfriend, and her boyfriend shot Redmanic dead while Redmanic was begging and pleading for her life. Now, given Redmanic was a white woman, a white police officer, but of course, we're not going to hear any stories about that because she was white. And now Illinois, which is not a death penalty state, officials in they're trying to get federal charges against these two model citizens in order for them to enact the death penalty on them. But nobody says anything about that. Because in the eyes of the apostles of blackness, black people don't commit crimes. Which is about as stupid as saying that black people can't be racist. But black people shouldn't be arrested for their crimes. They shouldn't have to be punished for their crimes because we go through so much in this country. We're still suffering from the specter of slavery. We're still suffering from Jim Crow. So we shouldn't have to go to jail if we commit a crime. Apparently, officials in California have taken them up on that because it seems like people can loot and steal in California as long as it's below $1,000. Y'all saw that debacle at the Macy's or what was it, Nordstrom's in, I think it was San Francisco. And these gangs, they just come in there and they just, you know, hey, help themselves. And the main reason why they just let these people help themselves to whatever is because they don't want to be seen as racist. We're getting reports of cases of black people being exonerated for crimes because certain people on the jury, they don't want to see another black brother end up in jail, even though the rascal is guilty as sin, but they don't want to see another black brother go to jail. And they think, you know, they're doing the black race a service by exonerating these crooks, these thugs, without realizing these crooks and these thugs can turn right back on you. They don't care about you. They really don't. If they get the opportunity, they don't care if you're black, white, yellow, red, or whatever. If they get that opportunity, they're going to commit a crime on you as well, despite your skin color. But I wanted to go back to these statistics from Chicago. I may have gotten a little ahead of myself right there mentioning those two police officers, but it was something that needed to be said. But I get this from Yahoo News. Now, you all don't get turned off when I say Yahoo News, okay? I know Yahoo News is not a reliable source. I understand that. But having said all that, let me just read this article about Chicago. Good old Chicago, run by good old Mayor Lightfoot. Yeah. Chicago, the year of 2021 ended as one of the most violent on record in Chicago, as a rise in the number of shootings left more people dead than in any single year in a quarter century. According to statistics released by the police department on Saturday, according to the department, 2021 ended with 797 homicides. That's more than two people a day. That is 25 more than were recorded in 2020. 299 more than in 2019, and the most since 1996. I was in my 20s in 1996. And there were 3,561 shooting incidents in 2021, which is just over 300 more than were recorded in 2020, and a staggering 1,415 more shooting incidents than were recorded in the city in 2019. Other cities have also seen an increase in the number of homicides, but Chicago, as it has in previous years, ended 2021 with more homicides than any other city in the United States, including New York and Los Angeles, both of which had recorded at least 300 fewer homicides than Chicago for the year as of late December, according to police data from those cities. We all know this has been a challenging year here in the city of Chicago. Police Superintendent David Brown told reporters at a news conference earlier this week, too many families are reeling from the loss of loved ones due to senseless gun violence. All right, now watch that phrase, senseless gun violence. They always want to focus on gun violence. And I don't think all those people who were murdered in Chicago, I don't think every one of them were murdered by a gun. Some may have been murdered by a knife or beaten with a baseball bat or beaten with someone's fist or whatever. Brown said the bulk of the homicides are a result of conflicts between rival gangs. He's tried to highlight some positive statistics when discussing the monthly crime figures, and he continued to do so with the release of the end-of-the-year statistics. He said, for example, that the department cleared 400 homicides, a total that was higher than in any year in nearly two decades. Saturday's news release did not specify how many of those cleared homicides were committed in previous years, but reported that the clearance rate for the killings was just under 50%. The department, which says it takes more illegal weapons off the street than any other local police force in the United States, said that it took a record 12,088 guns off the street in 2021. That total coincided with the creation of a gun investigations team that has focused on interrupting the flow of illegal guns into the city. But let me just leave it right there. 797 homicides, just three short of 800. That's more than two people a day. Folks, this is an outrage. Now, I remember I used to live in D.C., and one year D.C. had about 700 homicides, too. They were having two murders a day. They called it the capital city of crime. But I think that capital has moved over to Chicago now. But we totally ignore this. Mayor Lightfoot, who, if Mayor Lightfoot ever gets reelected in a future election, you got so stupid people living in Chicago. I don't think one vote should be cast for her. Not one vote, because I haven't seen anything that she has done to actually improve the well-being of the citizens in Chicago. And did you all see that clip of her with her quote-unquote wife? Because she's a lesbian, you know, because we woke now. You all see that clip of her over the holidays. She was celebrating Kwanzaa, which to me, Kwanzaa is not a legitimate holiday to celebrate. If you celebrate it, that's fine, but and you know, you do you. And she's talking about Kwanzaa, but she used it as a stepping off point for gun crimes in Chicago. As we celebrate this Kwanzaa, this season of Kwanzaa, and I'm sitting there, it would be laughable. It would be real laughable if this wasn't so pathetic. And we just gloss it over. We just gloss on over it. You know, no, let's pay attention to white cops hunting down black people. That's what our focus needs to be on. White cops hunting down black people. That's what, you know, that's the problem. That's the main problem. Although black people kill more black people, way more black people every year than cops could ever think of doing. I mean, you know, we live in cuckoo banana town. That's what we live in today. And all this, you know, political correctness and everything that's going on, like I said before, political correctness is going to be the death of this country if we don't straighten up. When we focus our vision on the little pettier things than we do on the big problem, that's why the problems keep persisting. That's why they persist. And we just choose to ignore the bigger problem. Like fatherless homes and mothers having to play mother and father and kids not getting a good education. We want to blame somebody else. We want to blame the system, but we don't look at ourselves and say, well, what have I contributed to the problem? We don't do that. Of course, you know, one of the fingers of blame we keep pointing is at January 6th of last year. Boy, I'm telling you, if I hear January 6th one more time, of course, you know, this week, you know, they want to have a special tribute for January 6th because, you know, January 6th is as bad as 9/11 and Pearl Harbor and all that. And it was a deadly riot and, you know, oh my gosh, it was so horrible. One person got shot and killed. And that person was a Trump supporter. But they want to leverage that and they want to say, hey, you know, this was a travesty. People died. They keep saying, yeah, so many people died at that. No, it was one person. And they say it committed millions of dollars of damage were done to the Capitol building. I'm like, folks, the only damage I saw at the Capitol was to a window. Now, that window cost millions of dollars. You know, the taxpayers in this country got something to say. Nobody went in there and set fires and destroyed personal property or anything. I say the worst crime that was committed by the protesters that day, those that did it, was trespassing and breaking and entering. I think that was the worst. Which you could have slapped them on the wrist and everything. Don't do that again. Give them some probation, whatever, be done with it. But you know, some people are still in prison today because of what happened last year on January the 6th. Being denied food, being denied medical attention. I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene went to the D.C. jail to try to see one of them, and she was turned away. Now, I'm familiar with the D.C. jail because it was right up the street from where my grandmother lived. No, I was not a resident, so just in case y'all thinking, no. But it was right up the street from where my mother lived. My grandmother, anyway. But we keep hearing January 6th, January 6th. Oh, it was such a tragic day. And a friend of mine, he was asking me, well, what do you think about January the 6th? I think it was, and I told him, I said, I think it was a ruse. It was a setup. Now, you're going to tell me that all these people could just waltz their way up to the front door of the Capitol building with no security. Security was just overwhelmed. All these people coming up to the Capitol building. Now, I've seen the videos of the Capitol security letting the people in. One man was yelling at them saying, what are you doing? You see what they're doing here? Why aren't you doing anything to stop this? And Capitol Security just standing there as if they've been given orders to stand down. Oh, yeah, I believe it's a setup. I believe it was a straight-up setup. Just like that debacle back in 2010 when they were going to vote on Obamacare and all the politicians, they come into the Capitol building and in the open air. Usually they'll come in, they'll have underground tunnels that they enter the Capitol building through underground. But, lo and behold, on this day, they're out in the open. And someone made the accusation that one of the black congressmen got spit on by a member of the Tea Party, but there's no video of it. And that someone yelled the N-word at him and all that. No video of it. Oh, but there's video of the Capitol Police letting the people in. Oh, come on in. And, you know, even though it hasn't been confirmed, I believe your lady, Nancy Pelosi, has something to do with it. And AOC. I wouldn't be surprised. But all they talk about is January the 6th. Oh, it was so bad. But they ignore the how many riots, Black Lives Matter and Antifa riots from last year. Almost 300 riots. People burning down businesses and people getting killed. Those were peaceful protesters. Michelle Obama getting up there, they were mostly peaceful. Michelle, shut up. And they're sitting there talking about, these are mostly peaceful protests. And you can see the flames burning behind the reporters as they report on these peaceful protests. They were so peaceful. We didn't see that on January 6th last year. And I'm going to tell you the reason why they wanted to push January 6th the way they did. They wanted to put that in the forefront. Hatred for Donald Trump. That's all that was about. Because supposedly Donald Trump incited the riot. He told them to go there and break into the Capitol building and mess things up. If you had researched the situation, you would have heard where Donald Trump told the people to protest patriotically and peacefully, which most of the people did. Most of the people did. I told folks, my wife and I, we were watching that protest in real time when it happened last year, and it was not a riot. Now, I like Larry Elder. I love his viewpoints. But when he says that protest at the nation's capital last year was a riot, I take umbrage with that. It was not a riot. Yes, you did have some people try to break in. But it was less than 1% of that crowd. They didn't storm the place. They didn't stampede the place. But, of course, when you've been brainwashed by the news media and you've been brainwashed to hate someone like Donald Trump, you're willing to accept anything. without proper research, without proper study, you're just willing to jump to conclusions and say, ah, that's what it is. And then you had some black folk talking about, oh, this was white supremacy on display. White supremacy? I don't know. See, that white supremacy thing, they just throw that around anytime they feel like it. You know, just like they use the word racism every time you don't agree with a liberal point of view or whatever. White supremacy. Once again, my wife and I were watching the thing unfold in real time, and there were black people in that crowd. Well, there wasn't that many black people. Of course it wasn't that many black people. I mean, we're only 16% of the population. 13%, excuse me. Of course you didn't see a lot of black people there. And I really do believe it was set up so that we could take our attention off of Black Lives Matter and Antifa and put it so square, put the responsibility of that incident squarely on the shoulders of Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump was mad at the election and he wanted to do something about it. So he told these people to go up there. He incited a riot. He told them to go up there and cause destruction. But did Donald Trump do that? I know a lot of you all out there want to believe that Donald Trump did that. Because you've been brainwashed to believe that he's a racist. He's a misogynist. He doesn't like black and brown people. Despite his past actions of the contrary, but you all want to believe that. But all this, all what you saw with the election, with the riots and everything, all of that had to do with hatred for Donald Trump. And although I can't confirm it, I'm very suspicious about the past presidential election. Do I believe that there was some cheating? Yes, I do. Because how in the world can Donald Trump get 11 million more votes than he did in his previous election? And how in the world can Joe Biden have gotten 15 million more votes than Barack Obama? Now, think about that. Now, I'm not an Obama supporter, but as popular as Barack Obama was and how many people still sing his praises to this day, you're not going to get me to believe that Joe Biden won 15 million more votes than Barack Obama or millions of more votes than Hillary Clinton. And you all know that people have been singing the praises of Hillary Clinton since the early 90s. And Joe Biden hardly even came out in campaigns, sleeping in his basement, like a lot of people say. And then all of a sudden, oh, he wins the election. Y'all not going to get me to believe that. Now, given I still consider Joe Biden our president, although I think he's an illegitimate president, I call him the asterisk president. He's our president, but I got to put an asterisk to his name because I am not so sure that he won fair and square. Matter of fact, I don't believe he won fair and square, but he's our president now. And I know a lot of people out there saying, oh, he's not our president. He's not our president. No, if you're an American citizen, he's your president. He may, no matter how illegitimately he got there, he is your president. I know it hurts. I know it pains you to say that, but he is. And I still address him as Mr. President. But having said all that, I still put an asterisk next to his name. And I really don't believe that a lot of people who voted for Joe Biden were confident in his abilities to run this country. I really don't. That's why I said Donald Trump's going to win the election. And I wasn't saying that God told me or anything like that, but I was just looking at the circumstances. I was like, ain't no way this man can lead this country. But my thing is, I didn't take into consideration the possible cheating, because now the hatred for Donald Trump, I had never seen anyone, I had never seen a president so hated as Donald Trump was. Never. That's another reason why I believe this election was stolen, because people are like, nah, we can't have four more years of Donald Trump. We can't. We got to do something. People got desperate. The Donald Trump Network, I mean, the CNN, they had to do something. Oh, my goodness. Every night they talking about Donald Trump. Oh, man, he's incompetent. Oh, he's not as smart as Barack Obama. Oh, we got to do something about this. And they were so desperate, they went about and did what they had to do to get rid of Donald Trump. And then when people pointed it out, said, hey, wait a minute. What about this? How in the world he get more 11 million more votes and he didn't win the election? Oh, y'all just need to suck it up. Like Whoopi Goldberg so infamously said, y'all just need to suck it up. Suck it up. Excuse me, Whoopi. Why don't you suck it up? You can't even bring yourself to say Donald Trump's name. For 4 years, we listened to you all talk about Russian collusion. Y'all still talking about Russian collusion. That Donald Trump was an illegitimate president. Hillary Clinton is still upset that she lost that election in 2016. And y'all telling us to suck it up. No, you suck it up. Because for 4 years, we had to listen to you all not sucking it up. And y'all act like y'all want a virtue signal. Oh, we just found things and we took it to the courts. And nah, y'all didn't suck it up. You can't, Whoopi Goldberg can't even bring herself to even say Donald Trump's name. She calls him you know who. But they told us we had to suck it up. But they wouldn't suck it up for 4 years. No, if our candidate wins, you all got to suck it up. But if our candidate loses, we ain't got to suck it up. Do as I say, not as I do. And see, this is the type of hypocrisy that goes on that goes on in our political system. Excuse me. But as long as God allows me to live on this earth, I'm going to talk about it. I might not have a name as big as Sean Hannity and all the rest of them, Rush Limbaugh and all these big time, you know, commentators and whatever. But I'm going to continue to talk about it. As long as God grants me breath every day. I already stated that I'm going to do a podcast starting somewhere between February and April of this year. Going to start me a podcast. I'm going to try to get a logo and all that type of stuff. But as long as God grants me air to breathe, I'm going to continue to talk about this. And I don't care if anyone gets offended or whatever. I really don't care. I don't care who gets offended. Let me do this right quick. See what this is. Something going on with my studio here. Let me get back here. I think I'm in kind of a dead zone with my Wi-Fi. Excuse me. I think I'm in a somewhat of a zone because sometimes my Wi-Fi, see, look at this. Yeah, my studio was messing up there for a while. And everyone was commenting on my chat page, and it wasn't coming through, so I had to refresh the page, and now I'm seeing all these chats up here. Let's see what we hear. Let's see. Yeah, yeah, Yahweh, yeah. When you bring up these statistics, you're just being a coon, yeah. I have embraced my cooniness now. I have embraced it. Matter of fact, I might get me a T-shirt and put coon on it. Put a little face of a raccoon and say, yeah, coons of the world unite. Well, Bring It Boye, that's good. Bring It Boye says, time to move grandma in. My last grandparent died about 13 years ago, but I understand the sentiment. And the problem is the leftist media controls the narrative, and most folks are too stupid to do their own research. The truth is out there, but you've got to put in some work to dig it up. That is so true, Yahweh. That is so true. And a lot of people, like I said, they're mentally and intellectually lazy, and they want somebody to do all the thinking for themselves. That's why when they come up and they can make a falsehood about somebody, we tend to jump to conclusions right then and there. Because we're mentally lazy. Someone else is doing the thinking for us. And, oh, yeah, Bring It Boye. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, folks, you all know I am not a political person. I'm just not. I don't understand politics or anything like that. But did you all see that debacle with Ted Cruz yesterday? And see, you know, I know that a lot of people hold Ted Cruz in very high regard. They do. And I can understand why. Ted Cruz is a very smart man. But I always, in the back of my mind, I was like, there's just something to Ted Cruz that just is not right. I know I see him doing whatever, you know, but something about him. And the reason why I think that way about Ted Cruz is because of, you know, when Donald Trump got elected the first time, he said some things, and I'm like, wait a minute. Ted Cruz himself called the protesters at the January 6th protest last year. He called them terrorists. And then when Tucker Carlson, who I think is the most brilliant news reporter out there today, when he called him out on it, see, Tucker Carlson wasn't going to... Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. No, Tucker Carlson, he told Ted Cruz, look, I don't believe you. Tucker Carlson ain't no wuss. He said, I don't believe you. And he admires Ted Cruz. He even said Ted Cruz is smarter than he is, but Tucker Carlson was like, no. Because Ted Cruz tried to walk back his comments. And Tucker Carlson was like, no, I know you better than this. You're smarter than that. Instead of being up front with what he said, Ted Cruz wanted to take the politically correct route. That's what he wanted to do. Well, no, that's not what I meant. Well, what did you mean, Ted? Those people were terrorists? They weren't terrorists. They weren't. And see, this is one of the main reasons why. I would have some misgivings if Ted Cruz ran for president. I would really have some misgivings with casting my vote for him. Because a lot of these people that we hold in such high regard, they care more about politics than being truthful and being upfront. I mean, I saw that and I said, now, and it really didn't surprise me. It disappointed me when I saw that from Ted Cruz, but it really didn't surprise me because I was like, there's something about Ted Cruz. I see a lot of things that Ted Cruz is doing are admirable, but there's just something to him. And when I saw that yesterday, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Say, like I mentioned earlier, Larry Elder, same thing. Same thing. Those were rioters no, those were not rioters. But we totally ignore Black Lives Matter and Antifa because we want to be politically correct. We care more about our politics than we do about the facts and the truth. That's all we care about. And one thing I get tired of hearing too, I don't want to sound like I'm just going here and there and everything. One thing I'm getting tired of hearing too is how we got to protect our democracy. No, what you saw a couple of years ago with Black Lives Matter and Antifa, that's democracy, mob rule. No, we do not live in a democracy, and I wish I could just shake people's heads until their brains rattle and tell them we do not live in a democracy. We live in a constitutional republic. We are a nation of laws. And I wish people would stop saying we need to protect democracy. Democracy might have its place somewhere in the republic, but democracy is not the big picture. We are a republic, constitutional republic, meaning this country needs to be run according to the Constitution. So when someone comes up and says, well, no, this is not right. Okay, let's go to the Constitution. Oh, wait a minute. What we're doing is right. Doesn't matter how many of you all protest against it or whatever. We're going to go to the Constitution and run our country according to the Constitution. Not because of your feelings. Not because of what somebody just told you. Let's go to the document. And next time I hear people like Sean Hannity and the rest, I like Sean Hannity. Don't get me wrong. Once again, I like Sean Hannity, but he's always talking about we need to protect we need to protect democracy. We don't live in a democracy. You know, statistically speaking, most democracies don't last more than 200 years because it's mob rule. The French Revolution, that was democracy. Hey, we don't like that guy. Let's chop his head off. Yeah, come on. Let's go ahead. Marie Antoinette, come on, chop her head off. King Louis XIV, come on, let's chop your head off. Anyway, I done run over time and whatever. And yeah, bring it, boy, yeah. But the Constitution, people had the rights to readdress the previances with Congress. We could go to the document and say, this is what the document says. So, but anyway, I've gone over time. Let me go ahead and do my advertisements. And when I'm done, I will see you guys on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, and of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Well, 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 everybody, welcome back to the show. I am your host, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you all the way from Durham, North Carolina. And thank you for taking out time in your busy schedule to listen to my broadcast of Black by Color only. And if you'd like to be a guest, if you would like to be a guest to call into the show, that number is 646-478-5284. And I'm going to go back to this doctrine thing, you know, about the Constitution and whatever. See, the reason why doctrine is important and you have to have it down in writing and whatever, because you can go back to that document and say, okay, I hear a dispute about this going on. So let's go to the founding document and let's see how we're supposed to carry this out. That's why we have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, yada, yada, yada. Of course, you have people that want to ignore the doctrine because they think, you know, they can think of something better. You know, they think they can do better than what the doctrine says. And that's why, you know, when I tell people, that's why I'm a Christian, because I have a doctrine called the Word of God, the Bible. And when something comes up and someone says, well, is this biblical or is this not biblical? I can go back to the doctrine, the scriptures, and say, okay, this is what the Bible says about this. This is why it's important to have some type of doctrine. And our founding doctrine for this country is the Constitution. The Constitution is not perfect. I'm just going to be honest with you. It is not perfect, but it is probably the best Constitution ever. First of all, it was the first Constitution ever in the history of mankind. And if we have a grievance about something, we can say, okay, well, let's see what the Constitution says about this. And see, a lot of times I listen to these people bloviating and doing their thing and whatever, and they say, well, that's unconstitutional, that's constitutional, but they never point out why what they're talking about is constitutional or unconstitutional. They just throw it out there. They'll say this, they'll say that Roe v. Wade is constitutional. No, Roe v. Wade is not constitutional. And I don't care if you know, the powers that be made it legal, it is not constitutional. Or same-sex marriage or any of that other stuff. That's no, it's not constitutional. But that's why we need to have the document. We need to have some kind of I'm not saying you got to memorize the whole thing, but you have to be able to go back to that document and say, okay, let's see if this is constitutional or not. Let's go to the Constitution. But you got a lot of people who have chosen to ignore the Constitution because they want to make it into a living, breathing document, which it is not. And, you know, this is why we need to stop the mental laziness. We need to stop the intellectual laziness. I'm going to have to put Retta Washington on. Retta Washington is Yahweh Kai. I'm going to have to put her on the spot right quick. Not too long ago, someone posted an article on Facebook, and they said this professor, it was a clause he put in the, I guess when you go into college or something like that, it was a clause he put in to the fine, into the fine print, that you can win so much money. I forgot. Oh gosh, I need to pull that document up. But I can't. Oh my goodness. But he was saying that in the fine print, he said you could win so many thousands of dollars or whatever, but you had to read the fine print on the document. And a lot of people, he was trying to see how many people actually read the fine print. And no one claimed that money. But Retta said, because Retta is a school teacher, so I'm pretty sure she cares about education and everything and stuff like that, you know. But she's a school teacher, and she said, you know, if it had been me, I would have gotten that money because I'm always reading everything. But see, a lot of us, we focus on what catches our eye first, and we concentrate on that, but we don't read the fine print. We don't care about the fine print. But the fine print is part of the rest of the document. And usually in the fine print, that's where you see your most important clauses. And some of us, we'll just see something. We'll focus on what catches our eye. We sign the bottom line, but we don't read a fine print. And then when something happens and whatever, we say, well, I didn't know this. Nope, there's your signature right there. But see, a lot of us are intellectually lazy. Some of us are too illiterate to read the fine print. We don't care about the fine print. Oh, let me just sign on the dotted line. But we have to be thorough. And I thank God for people like Retta Washington, because it's people like her, we need more people like her to be our school teachers, you know. Someone who's going to do a who's going to be real thorough in their teaching, instead of just observing what catches our eye first. But anyway, let's see. I think I got a. Do we have a fruit bat problem? As you can tell, I fixed my fruit bat alarm. I finally got it fixed. So, but I gotta fix my fruit bats too, because that one came in there a little too loud. But that's okay. That's okay. But before I go to the, of course, you all know that means I'm about to go to the phones. But before I go to the phones, I want to make a correction. Yahweh Kai says I'm a counselor. You know, she says she tries to teach her students to think critically, and that's what we need, more critical thinkers, instead of people who are just going to, you know, just read what catches their eye instead of reading the fine print. But anyway, you all know what that siren means. That means that I'm about to go to the phones, and if I go to the phones and you're a person who wants to engage in ad hominem attacks and character assassinations and excessive profanity and things of that sort, I'm going to let you know now. You best hang up right now, because if you don't, I'm going to help you to hang up. But anyway, having said all that, let me go to the phones, and let's see. Let me go to this one, because I saw this one earlier. Hello, welcome to the show.
How you doing, man?
Hey, doing good. Who is this I'm talking to?
This is Josh from Chicago.
Chicago. And I mentioned you all earlier in the show. How's it going?
Are you talking about your show? Your show is going wonderfully. Are you talking about the landscape of my general populated area? Yeah, no, it's a joke.
But I know you're a little bit about Lori Lightfoot.
Oh, Lori Lightfoot. Let me tell you something. Nobody on this planet loves anything more than Lori Lightfoot loves her own self-image and her position of power.
Yeah.
She will destroy
yeah, that's true.
3 million people's lives. She will make everybody miserable around her so long as she can look cute, which she doesn't even accomplish by violating the rules that she sets on other people. Is that not strange?
Yeah. Yeah. So Chicago is basically a shooting gallery, right?
No, it's always been a shooting gallery, except for now we have COVID. So all the decent people that are armed are stuck in their homes because they're law-abiding citizens. And all the other people that are criminal types are out there looting and stealing. So now crime is on the rise. So, yeah, no, I mean, that pretty much sums it up. The people that could do something about it are stuck in their homes because they're following all these mandates. The people that have never given a crap about law are out there doing all the terrible things that they've always done.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Do you think, and I'm just curious, do you think that come election time and Lori Lightfoot is running again, do you think she could win?
Now, this is something, what state are you in? I don't need to know the city or anything. What state are you in?
I'm in North Carolina.
Okay, North Carolina. All right, you have rational people down there. You never know what's going to happen in North Carolina. You might have a Republican governor. You might have a Democrat governor. You might have a mayor that's either or. Right? Come to Illinois. You're always going to have a Democrat governor. I'm sorry. Democrat mayor of the city of Chicago. That's the reality of the situation. I'm not blaming that on other people. But the same way that Michigan went downhill because they were depending solely on the imports and exports of Detroit, I'm not going to shed a tear if Chicago goes the exact same way as Detroit. They're begging for it.
Wow.
When was the last time you've been to Detroit? It's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible.
It's very sad to see. I've never been to Detroit or any of the middle western cities or anything. I've basically been living here in the southeast most of my life. I did live in the Tacoma, Washington area, but that was when I was a little toddler. I don't even remember that time. But, it's sad to see a city like Detroit go down like they do, Detroit, Chicago. When I was a kid growing up in the 80s, one of the states I wanted to visit was California, because I was like, yeah, California, oh, Los Angeles and San Diego. Ask me, do I have that same sentiment today? And I'm like, nah, I don't even want to visit California. I'm kind of afraid if I go
I
to California, it might become
a
communist
state.
Yeah. I mean, really, Just keep me here in the southeast. I like the southeast. I like it here. We got our faults and everything, but I like the southeastern United States. You know, hey, I don't care if you wave the Confederate flag. I love it here. But anyway, I'm going to keep you on, but I'm going to bring on my next caller.
Yeah, that
means hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
What do you say, Vincent? This is Fruit Bat number one reporting.
Hey, Bianchi, Merry Christmas.
A new year.
Happy New Year to you. Yeah.
Absolutely. How you been doing, man?
I'll tell you this. I'm not going to lie. I had a very rough week on the job this week, and I'm just glad to have put this week behind me. I'm telling you.
Well, I guess people have had pretty rough ever since Joe Biden got elected.
Yeah.
I know I have. Gasoline high as hell. He's bowing down. He's what he done in Afghanistan. You look at the other things that's going on. You got foreign competition that's going back to putting American factories out of business in areas of steel, lumber. You know, North Carolina was making a comeback in furniture. But they just totally, I think what he's doing is going to kill that. You know, you was talking about Chicago.
Yeah.
You want the latest count?
You're my Chicago reporter. I did the count earlier in the show.
I'm
happy to talk about Chicago.
They go from year to year. They go from January 1st to December 31st. I go from Memorial Day weekend. And from Memorial Day weekend up until December the 22nd, which was 220 days, you had 3,342 blacks shot by other blacks and 440 murders. No white police officer shot nobody that was reported. That's about 16 a day.
Yeah.
How many of those are on salsa?
They on salsa, you say?
No, sir. I asked how many of those were on salt.
Oh, it's no way in the world police can keep up with that, because the year before, in the same time spring, you had over 4,900-something that was shot by other blacks, with 4,845 blacks shot by other blacks in that year period, and you had another 400. Let's see, you had another 745 murdered. That's from Memorial Day 2020 to Memorial Day 2021. And the numbers I gave you just now is from Memorial Day 2021 up until 2 days before Christmas in December. There's no way in the world police will solve all that. They can't. And you short 100 cops last time I read?
Yes, sir.
And black folks can't complain. In the state of Illinois, your lieutenant governor is a black female. Your secretary of state is black. Your attorney general is black. Your police chiefs are black. Your mayor is black.
Mayor of Chicago is black.
4'6" with a 7'2" white female husband. And your prosecutor is black. Kim Fox, who didn't want to prosecute Jussie Smollett, the previous police chief who was found drunk in his car, was going to let Jussie Smollett go if he only apologized. What kind of damn police is that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yes, sir.
And now the Hispanics, Latinas, getting ready to push blacks out of the city of Chicago as far as governance is concerned. You had over 3,000 black millionaires move off of North Shore Drive because of the crime. They don't want to be around that. Your schools is terrible. Teachers won't come back to work, even now. That's a shame what's going on with the kids.
Hold on, it's not just a crime. We're the highest tax state in the country.
You're the highest tax state.
You have New York, you have California, you have New Jersey. We are the highest tax state. Our federal taxes are the same as everybody else, but the state taxes are so much higher because people keep leaving. And I'm about
your
to
gun
hop
laws
on that.
Is
wow.
the craziest. Your gun laws is the craziest that there ever is. If you got a bullet in your pocket, you had better have a firearm FOID, firearm identification card, for a weapon that matches that bullet, or you in trouble. If I leave out of Missouri, I got to put my gun in the trunk.
Yes, sir.
You drive to Illinois.
Yeah, if you live in Illinois and you have a bullet in your pocket, you better get used to the term "Sieg Heil." You know, go full on Nazi
wow.
with that nonsense. Because no, I'm telling
wow.
you, they don't like guns here. I'm telling you.
The kids
the
go to school.
Like the craziest sport.
The children walk the street, go to school with bulletproof backpacks, and they run zigzag to keep from getting hit by bullets.
And so you all are talking about the United States, right? You're not talking about a third world country. You're talking about the United States.
We're talking about Chicago in the middle of America, the largest city.
That's a black ran city. As be Pacific, that people claim that, well, we got to have black mayor, we got to have a black prosecutor, we need a black police chief. You got all that, have had all that. And look at the crime.
Yep. Just like Baltimore, a city that I've had the unfortunate circumstance to visit a couple of times, and I told myself I will never live there, even though I live nearby in Washington, D.C., but Baltimore made such an impression on me. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I ain't think anything could ever be worse than Washington, D.C. until I saw Baltimore. And I said, oh, I will never live here.
Oh, look at
you can forget
Washington
that garbage.
Now. You know, I hear people say that blacks are talking about the, and I am black, yes, sir, if you ever guessed, that
yes,
about the drugs in the community. You know who the biggest drug dealers in the United States at the time? They were black.
Yep.
They were. You had your Frank Matthews, Kevin Childs, Big Kingpin, Frank Lucas, Leslie Atkinson.
Free Roll Ricky.
Yeah, they all were from North Carolina, including the country boys.
And I live in North Carolina. This is distressing.
They control the drugs, heroin and that, all the way over into Oklahoma. The one guy did. And they're talking about that the CIA was bringing. Well, CIA wasn't doing nothing like this. What's the guy's name? Heck, Frank Lucas was making about $1 million a day in his business.
Good, great.
Hmm. Yeah, that teenage kid up in Detroit in the 80s.
But Pianki, you got to understand something, though. Black lives matter, man.
You know, the richest blacks in the 50s.
I want to know who wanted to dispute that. I want to know who said that wasn't a thing.
You know the richest blacks in the U.S. in the 50s and 60s, you know where they came from? Durham, North Carolina.
Black Hall Street?
Yeah.
And many of them went to Hillside High School.
Dude, I live less than 2 miles from Hillside.
Hillside used to be an epitome.
Oh, my
goodness.
That,
you know what destroyed it?
I know
you. The judge ordered busing.
Yeah.
That the NAACP wanted.
So I guess you're familiar with Black Wall Street that we had here in the Hayti subdivision of Durham, North Carolina. You know, we had our own museums, had our own banks, had our own movie theaters and everything. And integration messed
They're
up.
They're bringing that back all across the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the one in North Carolina was for real.
I'm just saying, not the education on how to make young black women and men like financially successful. I'm talking about they're trying to make everything, you know, like African nonsense in museums that have nothing to do with here, tearing down statues. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
it has nothing to do with us.
Yeah, and your Wall Street in North Carolina was built by Native Black Americans. The one in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that was Creek land, Creek Indian land.
Yeah, exactly.
In the
exactly.
early
yep.
1900s, what, 1906 or something? How the heck blacks coming out of
yeah.
slavery going to have that kind of money? Now, they did have
yeah.
some of the working skill because a lot of them was working as artisans to build the buildings in Chicago. And then a lot
yep.
of them went, just like everybody else, went over there to that area and started, you know, doing work, building as laborers.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know that Durham, North Carolina had the rich history that it did. And folks, you know, I don't like to get caught up in black history because, you know, history to me is history. You know, whether it be black, white, yellow, whatever, it's all a part of history, you know. But they had a rich black history here in Durham, North Carolina. As a matter of fact, Booker T. Washington paid a visit to Durham, North Carolina, and he said that he had never seen relations between the races as good as he's seen it here in Durham, North Carolina. He said the black folks and the white folks, they get along together and everything and stuff like that. And he said he had never seen that anywhere in the country. You know, and heck, I just came down here to go to college, you know, but, you know, and right now, Durham is going through its rebuilding. Say again?
You know what Liberia is?
Oh, yeah, my wife is from Liberia.
Yeah, I know. My partner, when I used to work security down in Florida, he was from Liberia. They speak French.
Yeah.
Does your wife speak
French? Some of them do, yeah. No, she speaks
yeah.
a Liberian dialect, but she speaks Chinese too, so because she lived in China for a while.
Which one? Cantonese or Mandarin?
Mandarin.
Yeah, you'll never understand and appreciate anything until you meet like a European, an African, or an Asian when they speak like more than English.
Yeah.
You appreciate it a little bit more. So,
oh, yeah.
Liberia,
definitely.
You familiar with that, though?
Say again?
Liberia, are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I'm familiar with some things about Liberia. I know Liberia was created for the slaves that were freed. They colonized in Liberia. Their capital city was named after President Monroe, Monrovia.
Yeah.
I don't know much. Yeah. I don't know much about.
No,
I've never been there.
No, it's way more simple. They spent $4 million on buying a plot in Africa where they offered freed slaves to go back to Africa if they wanted to. And that's the entire country
yeah.
of Liberia.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's all it is.
Well, blacks,
yeah.
in that constitution, it says only the Negro can become a citizen of Liberia.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, if you're white, you know, you can't become a citizen of Liberia. Which I think is racist, you know, because if
yeah,
you can be a citizen of the United States,
that's the way they set their country up. I don't. That's what they want to do.
No. Hey guys, have you ever been to Haiti?
I've never been to Haiti. But yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. No, it's the same thing. I mean, and even what do they call that now? Zimbabwe used to be called. What they used to call it.
It's called Rhodesia.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's called Zimbabwe. But, yeah, no, guys, I'm telling you that there has always been hatred in men's hearts for things that nothing can change about themselves. Skin color, how tall you are, I don't care. Men and females, it doesn't mean anything. I'm saying that right now we have an opportunity. We're American. Yes, all of us, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're American. We have the opportunity right
yeah.
now to insult all of this nonsense. I'm not saying we're all going to get along at every time, because I'm pretty sure I cook better fucking steak than you guys.
Well, Sheila, them 3,000 that's been shot in Chicago ain't getting along.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that, sir. Yeah, no, apparently nobody's worried about that, sir. I'm saying I can put a little bit of brown sugar on some steak, and I can cook it better than you. All right, so that's the stuff we have to agree on, is that I'm a way better cook than both of you. And then, yeah, that's where we go from there.
Well, you know, you got these factions of blacks in this country, some Muslims, Nation of Islam, some Hebrews. You got Adolfs, Americans, African descendants of slaves, and other groups that claim that they, and a lot, some of them claim they're African, but they're not. They're United States citizens. They live on a continent
yeah.
called America.
Yeah.
And I was talking
you
to
know,
somebody
you
with
know,
that argument.
Can I say something real quick? You
yeah,
ask a person that claims to be African American to name 5 different countries in Africa on a map, and then I will give them their creed. But they can't.
Vincent, I was arguing with somebody on that. So I got the phone and got my wife on the phone. And I asked her what he could hear. Is black Americans African? She said, nope. I said, what happened? She says, many was expelled from the country. I said, well, I heard that they was cursed. She said, yes, generational.
Cursed.
Oh, wow.
Cursed, generationally cursed.
Generation. Because they expelled a lot of people that caused trouble, wars,
yeah.
burning up stuff,
yeah.
stealing.
Hold on. No, we have to go back on this. Hold on. You're telling me that the people that came here, like 500
A lot of them
years
were expelled. Not all, a lot of them. And see,
they were
doing that expulsion. Yeah, they were. See, here's the thing. She's an A-way. She knows the Akamu. And Akamu and Ashanti used to fight. And, of course, others, too.
Yeah.
Well, if you cause trouble and war, same thing with the Indians. If you lost, it was going to be several things that were going to happen.
Everything that you had, yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're going to pay restitution for the damages you caused. If you couldn't pay restitution, you're going to be sold off. And the money that was acquired from selling you off would go toward their restitution, or you're going to be killed.
But there was no sense of comic there. There's no sense of hilarity in the actual value of human life at all.
That's that society. What they set their values is up to them. That's a sovereign society.
Yeah, I know. No, sir. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have to have a sense of humor about all of this at this point, because they put numerical value on a human life.
Well, you can say they do.
Yeah.
But I can't argue. See, here's the thing. Actually, the black descendants of slaves today actually owe those tribes for the damages that their ancestors done over there that caused them to be expelled. You owe them reparations.
Do you know Don Cheadle?
Who?
Don Cheadle.
He's a famous actor. He's a famous actor. He played he played Iron Man's right hand man, War Machine, in the last like 3 movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He went out of his way to look into his ancestry, and he found out this man is Nigerian black. All right, he's not Congo black, where there's might be a little bit of mixture. He has dark skin, and he went in to this entire thing thinking he's going to find out that he's a victim of slavery. And yes, yes, absolutely. His family was enslaved. But after the white Americans and abolished slavery, he found out that his family remained in slavery under the Native Americans in a tribe called the Chickasaw.
Absolutely, yeah, right. Native Americans
did.
Had
yep.
slaves.
Certainly did.
And Lincoln's
yep.
Emancipation Proclamation did not apply to them.
Yep.
The
yes, sir.
Indians said that if you want us to give up our property, you have to pay us, which the United States government did. Matter of fact, the last payments went to the either the Choctaw or the Creek in 1952, when
wow.
you know the final installment payment. They had to pay for their property to be released. And then some of them was not released, like with the Cherokee. That's what the whole Trail of Tears was about when they came up out of
yeah.
Florida.
No, Seminole. No, that was decades before. That was the Trail of Tears was decades before. That's why we don't.
The Trail
have
of Tears is 18. Their Trail of Tears is, I believe, that was with the 1832 treaty. And then you had
yes,
another
sir.
1866.
Yeah, there,
you had
there,
another
there
1866
no
treaty.
Yes,
yeah.
sir, but there are no Native American reservations east of the Mississippi River.
No, I didn't say it was a reservation. They own the land. They own land in Florida. They own your five southern states, land the from Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia. Georgia was the Choctaw.
Do you understand where that land claim comes from? And the difference between the claim on land and the ability to protect it is totally different.
Well, here's the thing. They did own it, and actually the United States government ended up paying in many cases for
yes, sir.
That land. That's when they removed it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the thing is that, for instance, people like 40 acres and a mule were – General Sherman and Secretary of War Stanton had no business in doing that because it was Indian land. Even the white plantation owners that was it was on Indian land. That's probably why Jackson rescinded it. President Jackson.
Can we agree that all land in America was either bought or conquered?
Well, you go to war, you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can we both agree that Mexico wouldn't exist? They celebrate Cinco de Mayo, that's their Independence Day. Can we agree that Mexico wouldn't exist if America didn't exist because that was their Independence Day against the French?
Well, Mexico owned what you call the day Texas. But they didn't have the people to occupy, so they opened up for immigrants, just like you got the southern borders being opened up for immigrants. Whites came out of the East Coast, came down into what was then Mexico, and they told Mexico, we want to succeed from you, which they did, to form the Republic of Texas.
Yes, sir.
Then the Mexicans wanted to establish the border further north than what the Rio Grande is, and
then what happened?
You know, Americans said no. So what happened is that some American soldiers got killed by Mexicans, and that kicked off the
American
damn war.
Soldier got killed. Never forget
True.
The Alamo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had the Alamo, and you had that other leader, I can't think of it, Antonio somebody. He was a dummy. That was a war that Robert E. Lee performed so eloquently in, the Mexican-American
yeah.
No, that was – Robert E. Lee wasn't even born at that point, was he?
Robert E. Lee performed eloquently in the Mexican-American War, and he was under the command of – I can't think of his name. It'll come to me. Robert E. Lee – Grant fought together in the Mexican-American War and some other soldiers.
Is that why they had so much camaraderie?
The leader, it was General Scott who they fought under.
Okay, now see, I'm learning something here. You know, I'm learning a little something here.
Why they had? Yeah, brother, exactly. I'm learning stuff too. Is that why they had so much camaraderie at the end of the Civil War?
Well, the Civil General War was American soldiers fighting in American wars. That's what it was all about. In the Civil War, had the Native Americans that fought on the Confederate side. You had blacks that fought on the Confederate side because they owned slaves. You had the Iroquois Indians that fought on the Confederate side. You had the Mexicans that fought on the Confederate side. And Jews fought on the Confederate side.
I never heard about that distinction. But I know that black people served on the Confederacy and the Union side.
Yeah, because it was for the interest. Fighting for interest. You had Haitians that fought with George Washington at Savannah against the British alongside the French. Iroquois Indians. Iroquois Indians fought with George Washington. Haitians fought under the leadership of Henry Christophe, the little drummer boy.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
You know the history of Haiti. It's not the same thing, buddy.
It was Robert E. Lee.
It was a long time after.
Robert E. Lee, he wasn't a general then, and Colonel Isaac somebody, I can't think of his name, and I think Stonewall Jackson, that foiled.
Stonewall Jackson was a general, yes, sir.
Yeah, that foiled John Brown when he raided Harper's Ferry and was planning to go around the plantation killing men, women, and children. Robert Lee Lee.
Yeah.
Do you know what the most aggressive executive order in American history was coming
Which
from
one is that?
Abraham Lincoln. The most aggressive.
When he went out to the states that had succeeded, they voted to leave the Union.
No. The most aggressive executive order that ever came from the White House was Abraham Lincoln saying, he said, for every black soldier you kill from the Union, we're going to kill one of your officers. And then they stopped killing the black people.
Okay, I ain't never heard of that one.
Did you know that? No,
I know I did.
That was the most actually violent executive
order ever issued by anybody. You know, when blacks ran to the Union, they was considered contraband. And his Emancipation Proclamation could free them. He had no control over the states that had seceded from the Union. They were no longer part of the United States. Now, the slaves that ran to the Union lines...
Did they not learn something?
Huh?
Did they not learn something?
Well, I don't know. But the ones that went to the Union line, they classified them as contraband. And he had the right to free them, but that was it.
Wow.
Nah,
okay.
Yeah, boss. No, me and this gentleman, man, I'm not trying to take over your show. No, I just, I've experienced a lot of stuff, and I know a little bit about this history. And I know that the most grotesque, the most evil thing, and also presidential decree that ever happened was when Lincoln said that if you kill one black soldier from the Union, then we're going to kill one of your white officers.
Well, you know, somebody else has said that too. Killing
black people immediately.
Another president said it too by the name of Richard Nixon. You had a man by the name of Arthur Fletcher, who was the author of Affirmative Action. It was built off of what was called the Philadelphia Plan. It was built off the Philadelphia plan. Now listen to what I got to say. Arthur Fletcher was in Chicago going after the labor bosses because they wasn't hiring blacks in the labor unions on construction sites. So he was in Chicago, and he was staying in a hotel. And word got to him that they was coming to get him. So him and his wife piled furniture up against the door because this mob was going to come in there and kill him. So word got back the link to Richard Nixon, and Richard Nixon called old man Daley, who was the mayor of Chicago, Daley Sr., not Jr., and he told Daley that if you harm one hair on that Negro's head, I would have the 82nd Airborne marching down Michigan Avenue come Monday morning. So they didn't bother Arthur Fletcher.
Wow.
You know, Nixon also worked on behalf of Harvey Gantt and Floyd McKissick because they was concerned about having a black town, all black town. Nixon went along with it and made provision to take an area in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and turn it into a town called Soul City. It's still there today.
Do you mean Warrenton? You mean in Warrenton County?
Yeah, Warrenton County. Yes.
Yeah, Warren County. You
know, so he built factories, put in infrastructure, built electric, sewer, and water. And
good.
Black Americans didn't go there.
Why not?
I guess they wanted to be where they were. They had another one over in South Carolina. I think it was called Freedom Town. You had another one in across from St. Louis called Brooklyn, Illinois. It's still there today. Ain't nothing there, though. There's vacant lots.
I know. I'm from Illinois. I'm aware of that.
Yeah, Brooklyn is downstate from you. Right there, right off outside of East St. Louis.
The Peace Resolver. You know what the Peace Resolver is?
Hmm?
I said, do you know what the Peaceful Resolve is?
What's that?
Fall under a banner before you embrace the color of your skin. If you're American, be American.
Well, I fight to defend the United States Constitution. That's what I do. And I ain't have nothing to do with half of these Democrats I've met. Of course, there's some ratchet Republicans, too. I'm an issuecrat, really.
Yeah.
I vote for the issues.
Hold on. This is the most beautiful thing about an American. You ready for this? You're an American, all right, at the foundation, the core of everything that you will ever be. You ready for this? Don't trust politicians. I don't care what party they're from. You are you. You're an individual. You will never be a representative of this nonsense. Don't trust politicians. Live your life.
Well, them people in Chicago ain't learned that.
I know that. I'm from Chicago. I'm aware of that.
You know the best politician I've ever seen to sit in the White House? Donald Trump.
Go on.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Why not?
The man done what he said he was going to do or tried. Never have I seen people do a person do what he said he was going to do. Never.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
And that's saying a lot.
Yes, sir.
I go back to Eisenhower.
Yeah. And Reagan.
I go back to Eisenhower as far as age is concerned.
All you just told me was that you're an old man. Keep going.
None of them. When he said he's going to do something, he tried to do it. School choice.
He put that embassy in Jerusalem.
He put the embassy in Jerusalem. Absolutely. That's where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be in the capital, not in some outlying Hamlet.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And he know them the enemy. Our enemy today is China.
Yeah.
That's true.
Unforgivable.
Yeah.
I ain't worried too much about Russia.
No.
Our enemy today is China.
Yeah, exactly.
They know what they did.
And the Muslims over there, and leave them the hell alone. You're not going to change them people. Heck, them folks put bombs on their kids and walk them over to you.
Yeah.
You know why you can't change that? You know why you can't change that? Because Muhammad, when he came out with his book, he said this is the last word of God. And nobody ever claimed that this is the last word of anything. And it's impossible to change it. It was the last word of God. You cannot change their minds because there was no up for them. That's
them people
the
fanatical.
Of the
some of them.
Justice. Yes, sir. Yeah, there's
no
up.
Some of them. Then also you got Iran. Them gulas in Iran.
Iran. Don't even talk to me about fucking. I swear to God. You know, we destroyed their entire naval force in the 80s, and I want to have a naval battle with Iran. They'll show up with their little speedboats, and we'll just rain hellfire on them. You know, I have a sense of humor.
Well, you know, with Obama and now Joe Biden, they're letting our military go to heck. China is got hypersonic
Neither
missiles.
Of those men have ever shouldered a weapon. That's their problem.
Well, here's the thing. You got China has hypersonic missiles that can take out U.S. carriers by skimming 4 feet above the water surface. And I think Russia's got a missile that can go underwater and seek out a submarine.
I just want both of you to know that I'm in the Midwest and none of this actually impacts me at all. I'm okay if they bomb New York City.
Well,
I'm
going to tell you something. You know what I'm going to tell you? You're a white American, right? See, white folks is the one that need to straighten this shit.
I'm an Irish American.
Well, I understand. You know, the Irish went over on the Mexican side during the Mexican-American War. It was called the St. Patrick's Brigade.
came out of
New York. But
you know what else they did?
What else they do?
We fought off the British, the Romans. I don't know. There was a long history before we even came to America.
Iraq.
Sorry,
yeah.
I'm trying to interrupt you.
But white's the one that needs to get this stuff straightened out. There ain't enough blacks in the country straightened out what needs to be straightened out. Whites need
You're
to get off their lazy.
Whites
need to get off their lazy fat asses and get the work. People like me and Vincent is rare and hardly exists.
You gentlemen are completely fine on your own. You're telling me that white people need to save the day.
They the one that's got the power to do it. They got the numbers.
Who
don't have
the
numbers?
If I can inject something, I believe that a lot of the nonsense that a lot of white folks are involved in, like, you know, talking about, oh, I got privilege and all that. They stop the patronization. You know, stop, you know, we don't need guilty white folks talking about, you know, my grandfather enslaved your grandfather. Look, ain't no white person today own no slave.
I don't want no white folks kissing my boots.
Yeah, I know. If you guys want me to buy you an AR-15, I'm more than happy to shoulder alongside you. I'm not worried about that.
Well, here's the thing.
White people to save the
Look what's going on in the school with the kids. You got, even in white school districts, you got white board members that's telling white parents that you can't tell us how to raise your kid. I ain't never thought I'd hear that and let it get by.
Yeah.
You know the kids are illiterate, right?
Have you, Vincent?
You know the kids can't read, right?
No, I say again.
The kids can't even read.
No, yeah. They can't read. Well, so why is it that, and I'm not talking about inner city. I know what the politics done in those, without in those other areas, that's majority white, and your kids can't read that. What the hell's going on?
Yeah. They
where?
Tell you,
where are you talking about?
Oh, I know areas in Missouri and where they got the explicit sex books in the damn library. Heck, you had it out in New Jersey, in
a
school district in New Jersey.
You should have you should have a problem with that because that's terrible. They can't read. They're being taught to be confused about their sexuality and their gender. Yeah, you should be pissed off. I understand that.
You had a school district in Massachusetts in 2000, and this school district had a Saturday workshop at one of its schools, and they bussed in kids from other schools that was as young as 12. And the workshops had topics like fisting and should I spit it out or swallow?
Oh, my gosh.
It was called a fist game.
Yeah, well, give me the address. I'll burn that building down.
It was called the Fistgate Conference. It was put on by an organization called Glensen, GLSEN, and a man by the name of Kevin Jennings, who, when Obama was elected, Obama made him the head of his safe school czar. He made him a safe school czar for the Obama administration.
I'm going to go ahead and say Obama is a goddamn devil.
He is. In many ways.
He's a terrible person. No. I appreciate you bringing that information to the table.
Ask you something.
Obama,
somebody call you racist. If somebody call you racist, what you going to do?
Me?
Yeah, you're talking to Vincent. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to call him a racist back. Most whites, when you call them a racist, they will stop dead in their tracks.
Hold on. You're taking this at face value. Hold on. Call me a racist.
Racist. See, you took a long time to even. You took a long time to let it even settle in.
Pedophile.
Can't get out. They
you
have been
dead babies after you rape them.
Yeah, they have been conditioned into that. Wait, Vincent.
No, hold on. No, I think you missed the entire humor of that. You called me a racist. I called you a person that eats humans and also a pedophile. So,
I understand that. What we're really talking about is human beings. Human beings have done things all over the world in every ethnic group. When someone says this happened to us, quote unquote, I can show you where it happened to other human beings too.
Have you ever left the country?
Exactly.
Who, myself? I've been all over the place except for Europe.
You've been all over the place outside the country? What country have you been to?
Africa, Ethiopia, West Africa.
You've been to Ethiopia?
Senegal, the Gambia, Ghana. My wife is from Ghana. His wife is from Liberia.
Hold on.
Burkina Faso.
Your wife is from
Togo.
Ghana.
Yeah, my wife is Ghanaian.
Your wife is from Ghana. Your wife is from Ghana. Is she a beautiful lady?
To me, she is, yes.
That's all you can hope for, my friend.
That's true, though. That's true. But
I've been in areas in Ethiopia.
You found a beautiful woman in Africa. Hey, buddy, that's on you.
I've been to areas in Ethiopia in the Oromo Valley and the Rift Valley where those people still live like they've been living for thousands of years.
You know why I can't go to Ethiopia or Eritrea?
I'm listening.
I've tried. I'm white. I can't go there.
You can go to Ethiopia if you wanted to.
No, I can't.
I tell you what, you wouldn't be in Chicago on the 29th of January throwing water on Jussie Smollett when the temperature is 29 degrees below zero.
Yeah. Also, it's not just because that's retarded, but also because why the hell would anybody do that?
And how are you going to throw water, even bleach? Bleach freezes at 19 degrees, so I guess they were throwing bleach ice cubes on
him. I love that you did the scientific research on this. That's nonsense. Everything about his shit is nonsense. I hope Jussie Smollett... Yeah, but you know what pisses me off the most? You're going to send him to prison. You can't even say, I hope you get, you know, a big dick in your butt. Because he apparently enjoys that heartily. Like,
they probably put him in
the
women's prison.
Punch the kid.
Yeah, and he was carrying a Subway sandwich, and he was all tussled up and everything. And the Subway sandwich is in nicely neat, like it was wrapped. All the jalapenos was in place and everything else.
It's almost like a gay guy was carrying it.
Vincent, it's about time you get out, man.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here listening to you guys, and I'm going to have to cut it off right now. I really enjoyed today's show. Josh, that's who you are, right, Josh?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Josh. Yeah, I really enjoyed having you on the program. And of course, Pianchi, my man. Hey, Pianchi, we need to put out an APB for Sarge though, because Sarge, my last show, he wasn't here either. You know, what's up with Sarge? I hope he's okay.
I talked to Sarge the other day. He's okay. I like to get some of them people. I like for some of them people to come on your show and explain why they African.
Yeah. I would love that too. I would love that because
it's more important if they can point Africa out on a map, you know. Name like five countries.
Yeah, that would be cool. All right, man, I'm gonna see you later on. Everybody have a nice rest of the week.
Thank you all for coming on, and I really appreciate the dialogue and everything. I'm going to have to cut it off right now because I'm in the archives right now. But next week, God willing, I should be having another edition of Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. So you all take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on The Rebound. Y'all have a great Saturday.